Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Bases Loaded. We are back after a little one-week hiatus as I was dealing with a kidney stone, or still am, I should say. So I was feeling a little, not the best last week and nauseous, so, thought it was best to not come in and record as, don't want to mess up any of the equipment type of thing. So, we'll be doing, pretty much all NBA today. We have the conference finals for the NBA playoffs starting tonight. The Eastern Conference finals between the Boston Celtics and Indiana Pacers begins tonight. And then tomorrow it's the Western Conference finals with the Dallas Mavericks and Minnesota Timberwolves. So, the Celtics beat the Cavaliers 4-1. Pacers beat the Knicks in 7 games. The Mavericks beat the Thunder in 6 games. And then the Timberwolves beat the defending champion Denver Nuggets in 7 games. To set up, the conference finals. That, like I said, begin tonight. It's 7 o'clock on ESPN and ESPN2. Then tomorrow, TNT has the Western Conference Final Game 1 at 7:30 in Minnesota. So, the only real surprise, pretty much everyone is really kind of a surprise except for, the Celtics, obviously, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and the number one or best record in all of the NBA this season, pretty much have coasted through these playoffs. They've won both their series so far in 5 games, which, has kind of allowed them to rest as they are missing Kristaps Porzingis to a calf injury, which I saw last week. He is scheduled to miss the first 2 games of this Eastern Conference Finals. Then I saw that maybe Friday. So we'll see if there's any kind of updates. I might just check it right now. Let's see. Yeah, he's out tonight. So that made sense. And yeah, he probably is still going to be out those first 2 games. It hasn't been that much of a problem so far for Boston. As they've cruised pretty much so far. They won every game in the conference semis against the Cavaliers by double digits except for game 4. Yep, game 4 is the only one they didn't win by double digits. Because they haven't played in, it's probably been a week, maybe 6 days. So, is good for them to try and buy time for Porzingis to come back. But obviously, it seems like, he is not going to play the first 2 games. And then, playing the Pacers, who kind of came out like they're a sixth seed, but they haven't played like a sixth seed this playoff, beating the Milwaukee Bucks and then beating the New York Knicks. The 3-2 seed, respectively, in the Eastern Conference. They did, I think, win that. No, they didn't win. They were second in the NBA's in-season tournament. I was going to say they won, but then I remembered, no, they didn't win. I think it was the Los Angeles Lakers that won that tournament. But the Pacers were, runner-ups. So, they definitely had it. There were sits, so let's see. They're only 3 games out from the second seed. So they earned the sit seed, but that's because Boston has such a big lead in the conference standings that teams were pretty much playing for that second seed from probably around mid January on, when it was kind of Boston's pretty much going to have the number one seed in the conference, you know, unless something like, you know, drastic happens, like, you know, a season-ending injury to like Tatum or Brown, or, you know, a combination of other injuries to other players as well. So, you know, they're definitely going to be the favorite. I mean, with, you know, the defending champ Nuggets out of the playoffs now, Boston is pretty much, you know, the surefire favorite, you know, just in regards of, like, you know, probably both, like, you know, in terms of, like, you know, Vegas and, like, in the sports betting world, as well as, you know, probably analysts and media as well, have them as the favorites. So I think Boston has the best odds to win the championship. And then I believe it's Minnesota, Indiana, Dallas, the four teams left. Those are, like, you know, the odds to win the championship that we have. You know, pretty much, you know, it probably had been like once, like, you know, the conference finals matchups were set, you know, they usually pretty much will, like, you know, Vegas will have the odds and stuff like that pretty much, like, you know, pretty darn close. So you know, Indiana is definitely gonna be the underdog against Boston. This is probably gonna be Boston's toughest test. I mean, I don't think they're not gonna sweep Indiana. I don't think they'll beat them in five like the other two series they've played this playoff. I would expect to do like six or seven games. I mean, I think Boston will win. You know, as they're kind of on this, you know, it's like the third straight conference finals appearance. You know, they made it to the finals, you know, 2 years ago and lost to Golden State. So, like, this is kind of their chance, you know, to get back there and win it all, you know, and trying to, like, you know, break that tie that they have with the Lakers for, like, the most, for the franchise with the most NBA titles. So I believe they're both at 18 now after LA won the 2020 championship that they finished in the bubble. So that's kind of how, you know, I see the Eastern Conference going finals. You know, Indiana has to try and come out here and win at least one of these games on the road. But, you know, even if, I mean, Indiana lost the first two games against the Knicks, right? Yeah, they lost the first two games against the Knicks, and then, you know, won four of the last five. So it's definitely, like, you know, possible. But obviously, you know, you don't want to get yourself in that bit of a, you know, you don't want to get yourself into a hole, you know, in the conference finals with, you know, the NBA finals, you know, right there in front of you. So, you know, definitely step up. It should be fun, exciting. You know, like I said, yeah, I expect to do 6 to 7 games at least. I mean, I guess, which, you know, is what you want from the, I mean, it's what you want from, like, all these series, but sometimes you just don't get, you know, a good series like that. Like, you know, like, first round we had a couple sweeps, and then a couple series went to 5 games. We had one go to 7, and then the rest went to 6 games. So it is possible. And then conference finals, 2 game 7s, and then one went in 5. One series went in 5 games. That was Boston against Cleveland, and then Dallas and Oklahoma City went to 6. So, I mean, you know, we'll have good, and, like, now we're kind of to the point where, like, you know, there's only one game a night usually from now on, you know, through the end of the season. Because I believe, you know, the conference finals start tonight. Game 1 of the NBA finals is scheduled for, I think it's June 6th. So that's in, it's like 2.5 weeks. You know, depending, I mean, regardless of the games go seven, that, you know, there will, like, the finals will start June 6th. So, I mean, if it does go game seven, like, there might be a maybe a 2 days rest or something in between. I can check it right now. So, like, yeah, game seven of the Western Conference Finals, if necessary, would be Monday, June 3rd, and then the finals start June 6th. And then, you know, we'll have pretty close to, like, every day for, I would say, like, in between, for the finals, there's usually 2 days between games. Except when we get to, like, you know, games four and five and six, like, or, like, every other day type of thing. It's a little weird when it gets to that, but we'll come back to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to the Western Conference Finals, which, like I said, starts tomorrow at 7:30 on TNT. Dallas Mavericks, which are the 5 seed, play the Minnesota Timberwolves, which are the 3 seed. Again, Minnesota was, like, one game off. Yeah, they finished third in the standings, one game behind Oklahoma City and then Denver, who tie for first. But Oklahoma City has, like, the better... They have a better home... No, they're tied for home and away record. They had a better division record and a better conference record. So that, you know, gives them the tiebreaker for that remark. And then Dallas was 5th seed, one game out of the Clippers for that 4th seed, as well as just a game back of Phoenix for the 6th seed. So, I mean, like always, like, you know, the Western Conference is a little bit more competitive. You know, the Eastern Conference has always been, like, top heavy with, like, you know, three kind of elite teams. And then you have, like, one or two that are, like, you know, you're probably B-tier or second-tier contenders. And then the rest kind of just make up the rest. So, you know, Minnesota having, you know, the off-season, what was it, it had been two years ago. Or might have been last off-season, that, you know, they traded with Utah to get Rudy Gobert to kind of help enter defense, and, you know, that's what they kind of used, you know, going against Denver, because, like, you kind of needed, you know, some good front court, or good, yeah, front court, you know, like, rim protection defenders, if you're going against, like, Nikola Jokic, or who'd they, and then the first round, and the first round wasn't that big of a deal, because if you're playing the Suns, they don't really have, you know, top tier center and power forward there that you have to worry about when it comes to defensive planning. So, you know, I mean, you know, they did as pretty much as best they could. Like, I think he had, like, 41 points in game six, or it might have been game five. They had, like, 41 points. Then he was, like, he didn't have 20 rebounds. It might have been, like, 17 or 18, somewhere around there. In regards to, like, you know, rebounds for the game. So, you know, you can really kind of just kind of, you know, really just do your best when it comes to guarding him, because, like, you know, he's going to put up numbers like that on a pretty much daily basis. Obviously, like, he just won his third MVP award, winning all three in the past 4 seasons, and now the MVP winner is out. The runner-up, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is out, and all that's left is third place in the MVP voting, Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavs. And they did, they announced all rookie teams, and I think all defensive team was today. I think all NBA team is tomorrow. I believe that's what they're doing. It probably tells me right now. Yeah, all rookie team. So yeah, that was announced yesterday. Sure, we'll just open it through there, I guess, and look. Let's see. First team, we have Chet Holmgren from Oklahoma City, Victor Wembanyama, San Antonio, Brandon Miller from Charlotte, Jamie Jacquez Jr. from Miami, Brandon Podietzky from Golden State. Second team is Derek Lively with the setting from Dallas, Amen Thompson from Houston, Keontae George from Utah, Carson Wallace, Oklahoma City, and then Gigi Jackson the second from Memphis. So those are all rookie teams, and then all defensive team, I should say. I was like, I know I just saw it. So first team is, let's see, obviously Rudy Gobert from Minnesota. He won Defensive Player of the Year as well. Victor Wembanyama from San Antonio. Like then he said he made history as the first rookie to make the all defensive first team. We have Bam Adebayo from Miami, Herb Jones from New Orleans, and Anthony Davis from the Lakers rounding out the first team. Second team. So yeah, first team is a lot of like power forwards and centers. Maybe some small forwards as well. And then second team is a lot of like guards. Second team with Alex Russo from the Bulls, Jalen Suggs from the Magic, Derek White from Boston, Jaden McDaniels from Minnesota, and Drew Holiday from Boston. And then, like I said, tomorrow will be the all NBA team, you know, first team and second team. I don't think they do a third team. They might do a third team for that. I know they only do first and second team for rookie and defensive teams. But for like all NBA, they might do a third team. Just so it's like, you know, more players. So I don't really know who. I mean, I would expect the MVP candidates to be first team with Doncic, Alexander, and Jokic. I don't think Victor Wembanyama would make first team. He would probably make second team for sure. I can see Luka, Alexander. So that's two guards, and we have Jokic as a center. So we need like forwards. I don't know if they put LeBron or like, oh, Jason Tatum, obviously. So there's a forward. There's our small forward, so a power forward. Maybe Gobert. I mean, they might do it like a two center formation, maybe. And yeah, I think I'll go with Gobert. That's probably my prediction for first team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Jason Tatum, Rudy Gobert. That's my prediction for NBA first team. I would think the MVP candidates would have to make first team. That would make no sense if, like, you know, one of them were to not make first team. Because, like, if you're, like, and that's what's in the three finals for MVP award, it kind of seems like a shoo-in that you would make it to the all-NBA team, like, first team. So, you know, they did. So, like, going from that transition back to Western Conference Finals, like, you know, preview and stuff like that, you know, Dallas is definitely going to be tested when it comes to, like, you know, their size and length on the defensive end. You know, they traded with rights, I think it was Oklahoma City, in last year's draft for the draft rights for Derek Lively the second. You know, and, like, you know, he made all NBA or all rookie second team. So, and I think it's like 7'1", maybe 7'2". So, like, to have that kind of rim protection and to have that kind of, like, you know, like, lob threat for Luka and Kyrie, you know, definitely paid some dividends for Dallas, you know, this season. And then, you know, the in-season trades for Daniel Gafford from the Wizards, and then P.J. Washington from, I think, the Charlotte Hornets, you know, also stepped up and played. It's like from, you know, like kind of like maybe like traded in like All-Star break through the end. Like they were like one of the best defensive rating teams in the league. So, you know, they can definitely, you know, size up competition. I mean, you know, Gobert is not much of a scorer. You know, he's more of that defensive. You know, he's a lot like a more of a bigger version of like Dennis Rodman, who wouldn't score a lot of points, but he did get like, you know, 20 rebounds a game, and like, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 blocks. You know, and then like if he did get 20, like 10 points from him, you know, get that like double double, then, you know, that's just a, you know, any offensive production you can get from Gobert, you know, is a bonus. You know, it's more Carl Anthony Towns is like, you know, the bigger offensive threat when it comes to, you know, Minnesota's big men. So, but I mean, guards, obviously Minnesota has Anthony Edwards. They have, but I think he's like small, I think he's shooting guard. Point guard, I think they have Mike Conley. I think he was battling some injuries in that semifinal matchup against Denver. So we'll see what he is in regards to, like, you know, health. Obviously, like, they played game 7 on Sunday. And then, you know, having them play their first game of the Western Conference Finals be tomorrow, you know, gets a little bit of rest and, like, you know, recovery time for that. So I would think he's probably going to be good to go. This is kind of a thing to, like, you know, watch going forward. I know, like, Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers has had, like, I think he was dealing with, like, some bat spasms and some bat pain. So, like, even I was on the bench, he had, like, a bat support then on cheering his teammates on when he was on the bench, but, you know, had that, you know, support on him. Kind of, like, you know, probably some, like, maybe, like, a heating pad or something there to try and relax the muscles, you know, so you don't have a serious injury on the court. Because, you know, now is, you know, you're one series one away from the NBA Finals. So, like, you know, to get fully healthy or as close to full strength as you can possibly get, you know, is as best you can really hope for, because no team is really 100% healthy. No player is really 100% healthy at this point either. That's why you just kind of hope to, like, you know, end a series quick. And, like, you know, like with Boston has done these past two series, winning in 5, and, like, they haven't, and then, like, there's been, like, 5 sets days between series, you know, their series clinching game, and then till the series, like, you know, opener game is a lot, you know, them to, like, you know, rest. And obviously they haven't got Porzingis back, but, like, you know, just that, like, almost week of, like, you know, not having to play games, go to, like, a game 7, you know, allows him to, like, you know, do what he's doing for recovery, but also allow, you know, Tatum and Brown and Holiday and, you know, Al Horford and the rest of them to, like, you know, take some much needed rest. And I think they've won these past two series, like, at home. So, like, you know, be able to come back for a game 5 at, you know, TD Garden in Boston, and to win them at home is even better, just to, like, you know, you get to, like, go home. You don't have to, like, win the game on the road, you know, and fly back to Boston on a flight. Not that it's probably big enough, so you probably let, you know, rest or do some stuff on the plane ride. But anyway, you know, so, I mean, they're both, I mean, I think, I mean, these both should be, like, you know, both of these series on paper should go at least 6 to 7 games. Like, I would be shocked if it doesn't go 7, or no, if it doesn't go at least 6, that'd be kind of a shock. Like, something would have to, like, you know, we're talking about, like, probably an injury to, like, you know, like a Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Doncic, or, like, Halliburton or Siakam, for these series to go, like, 5, or, like, you know, one of those players or someone else to just, you know, just have a complete poor shooting performance in this series, you know, that would cause their teams to, like, you know, lose the series is the only way I would see this, any of them going 5. I guess what I think will win, I think for the NBA Finals, we're going to have Boston versus Minnesota. I think that's, you know, probably the safest bet. I mean, that's what the odds, and, like, Vegas and all of them are up, you know, as the opening favorites for both of these conference finals. Though what I would like, so that's what I think we should, you know, as, like, a fan of, like, Luka and the Mavs, I want, like, you know, like a Dallas, Indiana, because I think just Dallas hasn't been to the conference NBA Finals since 2011 when they won and against the LeBron James super team with the Miami Heat. Then Indiana, I don't think has been in it since like, I don't remember, I don't know when. It's definitely not, I think it's been in my lifetime. And if it has, it was like, you know, probably like early 2000s. Be my only guess. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, what I think will happen. You know, we're going to have Boston, Minnesota. What I'm hoping for will be like, you know, Dallas, Indiana. Just because, like, yeah. And then, you know, if it's Boston, Minnesota winner, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's a prediction for the conference finals. You know, we'll do, like, NBA Finals preview and prediction stuff, you know, of the show that week of the finals. You know, once we know who, like, who's playing and stuff like that. So that's, like, that'll be like, you know, 2 weeks down the road type of thing. In regards to like talking about that. So the only other thing I have really kind of on, you know, I guess my plan of like, you know, topics for today, is the NBA draft. Lottery was, I think it was on Mother's Day. So, like, yeah, the order is set for the lottery, so that's the first 14 picks. You know, you have the two, you know, the worst you finish in the season, your higher percentage to get that number one pick is. Though, you know, there can be surprises, like we saw last year with San Antonio winning the draft lottery, and then obviously thereby winning the right to draft, you know, Victor Wembanyama, number one overall. I think they had a decent chance. They definitely had a lot better than Atlanta, who won this year. I think Atlanta had like the 10th best chance with like 3%, something like that, odds. So they won. So yeah, because the draft is for the first 14 picks in the draft. And then after that, you know, it's based on like, you know, playoff exits and like, you know, stuff like that and trades and all kinds of other stuff. So yeah, the draft order is that was decided is as follows. Like I said, Atlanta won the draft and the right to draft number one overall, which I think is like their first time they're picking number one overall since 75, I believe. And it's like the first time they've won the draft lottery. So you know, it wasn't a thing the last time they won the first or pick first overall. So I don't know when they started doing the draft lottery, but you know, they had the number one overall pick, and there isn't really like, you know, there isn't like a Victor Wembanyama like last year, or like a LeBron James, or like Anthony Davis, or anyone like that would that really stands out in this draft class to take number one overall. But you know, Atlanta's in the position, like, you know, they can kind of take, you know, whoever they think will be the best going forward. There's been rumors of, like, you know, them trading DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. So we'll see what that happens. I mean, they might... I mean, they're going to keep one of them if they do that. You know, it just kind of depends on who they... I mean, my guess would be, like, keep Trae Young. Because he was, like, drafted by the... Well, he was technically drafted by Dallas. And then Luka Doncic was drafted by Atlanta. And then they didn't, like, you know, like, a trade for the draft, you know, the picks for the rights to, like, sign them or picks like that that the NBA does. So then, you know, he wound up going to Atlanta and Doncic to Dallas, so that type of thing. So we're trying to see, like, you know, first they're doing it in two rounds this year. For some reason, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. Like, there's only two rounds of the draft. Like, we can easily do this in one night. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. But first round is on Wednesday, June 26th. And then second round is, you know, next day, Thursday, June 27th. First round's in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. And then round two at ESPN Seaport District Studios in New York. So, here is the draft order as determined by the draft lottery. So, like, number one pick is Atlanta. Number two is Washington Wizards. Number three is the Houston Rockets. They got this pick from Brooklyn. Number four is the San Antonio Spurs. Number five, Detroit Pistons. Six, Charlotte Hornets. Seven, Portland Trailblazers. Eight is San Antonio Spurs again, from Toronto Raptors. Number nine, Memphis Grizzlies. Number 10, the Utah Jazz. Number 11, Chicago Bulls. Number 12, Oklahoma City Thunder from Houston. Number 13, Sacramento Kings. Number 14 is the Portland Trailblazers from Golden State via Boston and Memphis. So, yeah, a lot of wording with, you know, those trades as, like, you know, trade dispatches for, like, players and draft picks and stuff like that. So, you know, we have teams like, you know, San Antonio, you know, two top 10 picks. You know, you have Oklahoma City Thunder, who, you know, was the number one seed in the Western Conference this year. They did a, you know, top 15 pick as well. So, you know, they did pretty much, it's going to be a lot easier for them to pick versus, like, you know, a team in that top five that, you know, again, there isn't, like, a number one true prospect that you would take. Like, there's kind of, like, four or five that have a legit argument to make for being drafted number one overall. So, you know, like, a team like that, you can just kind of sit back and relax and, you know, however the draft falls to you at, you know, 14, or no, 12 for Oklahoma City, you know, you take that. I mean, Portland also has two lottery picks in the top 15. You know, Memphis, you know, they had a lot of injuries this year. Like, then Ja Morant was injured and, well, he was suspended and then came back for a little bit and then had season ending, I think it was shoulder surgery. So, you know, they're a team that, like, you know, I think, like, past couple of years, they were, like, you know, top four seed in the Western Conference playoffs. So, you know, they have, you know, a top 10 pick to add, you know, to, you know, that roster. As well as, like, you know, Sacramento, they were, you know, they were in the playoffs last year and they were in the play-in tournament this year, I believe. So, you know, it's a lot pretty easy for a team like, you know, them and Oklahoma City to, like, you know, draft in the top 15 with a lottery pick. When you have a roster that's, you know, pretty much complete, like, you kind of just, you know, can take whoever you think can help you out going forward. You know, get them on a rookie contract and have at it. And then, you know, what else we have? We have, like, you know, New York Knicks have two first-round picks back-to-back at 24 and 25. Utah has a top 10 pick. They picked number 10 overall, and then they have pick number 29 that they got from Oklahoma City via Toronto and Indiana. So, and then I think there's also some, like, right to swap picks. Like, I think New Orleans has until, I think, June 1st to decide if they want to have the Lakers' first-round pick this year or next year. I think I've heard, like, you know, being like, you know, maybe take it, defer till next year as, like, the draft class is a little more deeper, a bit more loaded on talent as opposed to this year. So, you know, and then what else do we got? I'm not gonna, like, go through, like, the second round, but, like, you know, obviously, I mean, Washington has another first round pick, so they put number second overall and 26 overall. So then, yeah, second round, like, you know, Utah has a second round pick, Milwaukee has a second round pick, San Antonio does. They got two second round picks. So, and then you have, like, I think, like, Boston only has this. They have a first round pick? Okay, they do. So Boston has a 30th overall pick, and then they have, let's see, 54th. And then you have a team like Dallas. They pick 58th. They pick last, you know, at the moment, you know. This, again, like, with the NFL draft, this is the draft order as of now. You know, obviously we'll have, might have some, like, trades and stuff like that, you know, the night of the draft, I mean, with it being two rounds now, well, it being two rounds on two nights kind of allows, you know, after first round, kind of maybe assess yourself, and see what you want to do for round two on night two. But then, you know, some teams only have one pick. Like, I think the Bulls at number 11, that's their only pick. And Dallas, you know, number 58 overall, the last pick, that's all they have. Indiana has two second-round picks back-to-back at 49 and 50. And then another second-round pick at number 36. Do they have a first-round pick? It doesn't look like it, no. But, like, I mean, they could bundle those picks or something like that and try and get into the, you know, the first round, something like that, you know. I mean, I don't know who would, you know, trade with them. I mean, New York possibly. But, you know, I don't think they want to trade with another contender in the same conference as them. So, you know, kind of see how it is. And, like, you know, we got, like, a month. Yeah, almost a month until the first round. So, like, you know, nothing's set. Well, things are set as of now. And then, you know, as we get to, you know, draft night and stuff like that, then stuff can change. But, you know, that's kind of where we are as of now with the NBA draft. So, yeah. That, you know, pretty much wraps up what I have. For this, you know, episode for this week. And then, you know, so next week, you know, we'll have about, I don't know, there should be at least maybe three games. That's Tuesday. So we'll have had four games for the Eastern Conference Finals, and then game four of the Western Conference Finals will be next Tuesday. So we'll have at least, for both conferences, we'll have at least three games completed. So kind of see, you know, where the conference finals stand as of, at that point, going into game four of the Western Conference Finals, that's Tuesday night. And then, you know, so we'll do that. I don't think we could do a little hockey, I think, because they're close to the Stanley Cup Finals as well. I think they might start, like, close. I know they're, like, so, yeah, they're on the conference finals as well. But their start, let's see, tomorrow for one of them and then Thursday for the other. So, yeah, they start, so they'll be, like, you know, maybe just a game behind of the NBA when it comes to that. But it doesn't even look like they have a start date for the Stanley Cup. Like, game one, I should say. Because, like, yeah, the NBA Finals, you know, like I said, game one is on June 6th. So, you know, we can do a little, you know, see how those have gone. You know, a couple games in next week. Kind of do another, might do some baseball. It's like, you know, we'll hit, you know, Memorial Day will be next Monday. So, you know, another kind of milestone in the MLB season. I think that kind of marks, like, the one, like a fourth of the season being completed around that time, as we head into that summer months and, you know, going from there. So, yeah, that's what I have for this week. All NBA focused, but, you know, that's kind of what we have, you know, mainly in sports at the time. So, you know, that's what we have. You know, thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Have a great Memorial Day, and we'll see you around.